They do lie to us, don't they? They fudge things.
All the time, all the time. And with numbers, it's really easy to fudge things. You give a phony number and people will automatically believe it.
Yeah, that's true. It's big perception. Proofiness. Tell me, how'd you get that title?
Well, it's definitely riff off of Colbert's idea of truthiness. for the core idea of truthiness is that there are certain things that you don't know in your head, but you know in your heart. And proofiness is the mathematical analog. It's the use of numbers to prove things that you know in your heart are true, even if they're not.
Politicians do it. Companies do it. The labor statistics do it. I would guess, Charles, most people do it, even in their own walks of life. They might not even know they're doing it, but they do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of our very human failings is that we pick things that confirm our existing beliefs, and we tend to reject things which contradict them, that we have a innate bias towards confirming what we already believe. And numbers are the same way, that we will often just ignore data that seems to tell us things that we don't like. And so we wander along in our lives accepting numbers that confirm everything we believe, and anything that makes us uncomfortable or forces us to reconsider an idea, we just reject.
But people do this too as perception. I mean, someone, you might say, well, how much do you weigh or how old are you? They may not tell you the truth. They may say, you know, I weigh this, when they weigh something else. Doesn't matter. They look the way they look, or the same with their age. Why do people have to do that?
Well, it's really funny. It's human nature that if you look at any poll, people are lying on the polls, even though they have no incentive to lie at all. One of the classic problems in researching sexual habits, for example, is that men will always overstate the number of women that they have slept with, and women will always understate the number of men that they sleep with. And this is a problem. if you look at these numbers, you get things like the average man sleeps with 12 women, the average woman sleeps with 5 men. This is impossible. Every woman sleeps with a man means every man sleeps with a woman.
If they're average, they're average. That's right.
That's right. But consistently, you always see that men sleep with more people, more women than women sleep with men. And it turns out if you hook them up to fake lie detectors, the gap diminishes significantly.
Aha.
And it turns out
the old placebo lie detector, huh?
Yeah, it works very well, surprisingly. And it turns out that the women seem to be lying more than the men are, that the men's answers come down a little bit, but the women's answers go up a lot.
This is going to be a fascinating night talking with you about this. When marketeers use this to manipulate people's brains, have they done research before they start doing fudgy numbers?
It depends on how you define research. Good research, almost certainly not. What you will often find is that there's a bogus study somewhere underneath a number, like crest white strips increase brightness of teeth by 3 times. And I actually looked that one up, and there is a study that they did where they measured reflections off of teeth and maybe come up with some measure of brightness. It's hard to imagine how you measure brightness of teeth reliably, but they claim to have done it. It's just not a very good study. But some of them are just numbers that are fabricated out of whole cloth. Like if you say that a certain moisturizer delivers 70% more moisture in every drop, how could that be? 70% more moisture than what? For one thing, I mean, water is 100% moisture. So is it losing out to water? It's a meaningless number. And you'll find that advertisements are just larded with dubious or completely meaningless numbers that are supposedly backed by some sort of measurement or some sort of research, which is either dubious or non-existent.
You know, I just got an email before you came on, Charles. A company that is pitching penny stocks sent out this flyer. I got one of them, and it said, you know, this stock today jumped 60%. And I went, whoa! And I looked it up. It went up 2 cents. Now, granted, it was 60%. They weren't lying about that. But it was the perception of 60%. Had they sent out an email that said it went up 2 cents today, who cares? But when they show you the number 60%, it gets your attention. They know what they're doing.
Absolutely. It's a way of presenting numbers that makes things look more impressive than they actually are. Another classic way of doing this is by taking a graph and changing the scale so that it looks like you're having a dramatic effect when there's actually nothing much going on. One example I talk about in the book has to do with Quaker Oats. Quaker Oats ran a campaign which made it look like Quaker Oats were gobbling up all the cholesterol in your bloodstream, and it had this nice dramatic graph. But the thing is, the graph was kind of truncated so that it looked like the bars were dropping dramatically when it was just a tiny, tiny, tiny effect. Politicians do this all the time. If you look at their descriptions of tax cuts or of budget increases or things like that, when they do it graphically, look very carefully on the left-hand side, on the y-axis, to see whether, in fact, the scale is natural, it starts at zero, or whether it's been changed so that it looks like the scale has been exaggerated.
Interesting. Now, you started off in the book Proofiness talking about the late Senator Joseph McCarthy from the 50s. Explain that.
Yeah. At the time, in the mid-1950s, Joe McCarthy was an obscure backbench senator, and he gave a speech at which he held up a sheaf of papers and he waved it. And he said, "I have here in my hand a list of 205 communists working in the State Department." And everyone started freaking out in Washington because the number 205 was really a jolt of electricity. It was a specific claim. It was something that was so specific. People started thinking he must have a list of names. The internal memos in the White House were saying, 205, who does he have? Who is this? Turns out he really didn't have those names. The list of numbers increased to 207, dropped to 87, was down to 57. In fact, he really didn't have any. He had an old, outdated list, and he wound up turning to a newspaper magnate, William Randolph Hearst, to try to get a list of names to round out the list so he could go in armed with some real names by the time the hearings rolled around. And once he did this 205, everyone started paying attention to him, and he became instantly the most divisive figure in that era of politics.
How did he know that numbers like that would create the kind of fervor to get people to notice?
I think it was instinctual with him. I think it's instinctual with most of us. We really treat numbers almost as gospel truth. We're trained that numbers always have a hard and fast and incontrovertible meaning. 2 + 2 = 4, no matter what you do to numbers, no matter what the world is like, 2 + 2 = 4. So we think that numbers represent absolute truth. The problem is that numbers in the real world, the numbers that humans create through measurements, through research, through counting, are flawed. They are not pure creatures of the Platonic realm of perfect things. They are very, very dirty, messy creatures that contain a lot of falsehood. And if we don't recognize that falsehood, if we treat them as pure creatures, we're in for a lot of trouble.